A very good morning. You're listening to Miraya, and this is the Know Your Right program. Welcome. Today is Friday, and every Friday from 9 to 10, we bring you the Know Your Right program. Today, our topic will be internal displacement in South Sudan, looking at the causes, effects, and response from a human rights perspective. So my guests today are Ms. Alinda Brenda, Program Coordinator, Girls and Boys in Action, and Mr. Robert Guia Antipas, Program Manager, Talent Initiative for Development. Gentlemen and lady, welcome to the program. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for welcoming us.
All right. Dear listener, we'll give you a chance later on to be part of the conversation on 0912067879 or 0912067929 or 0912067801. Well, let's dive into the conversation. I did, of course, introduce you earlier on, but it will be good if you also do introduce yourselves. Let me start with Alinda. Tell us about yourself and your organization.
Thank you, Juma. Good morning, our dear listeners. And thank you, Tionimis, Radio Miraya, the voice of peace. I'm Alinda Brenda. I work with Girls and Boys in Action as the program coordinator. Girls and Boys in Action, it was established in 2023. Mm-hmm. On a foundation of inclusivity and community-based. Our thematic areas are policy advocacy, economic empowerment, education, health, and peace building, that's on transition, and social justice. Thank you.
Many thanks indeed. Robert.
Yeah, thank you, Juma Emmanuel Love, Sunday, and thank you to Mirai FM for giving us the platform to share information, knowledge and experience in the field. I work for Talent Initiative for Development, and I'm the program manager. Talent Initiative for Development is abbreviated as TIDE, T-I-D-E. Mm-hmm. It's a youth-led organization focusing on women, youth, and migrants. So we have conflict management and peace building, we have governance, we have civic education, and then youth and women economic empowerment. I'm happy to be here, be talking about displacements or internally displaced persons, because we actually run a project called Let's Talk Migration.
Okay.
So I'm happy to be here.
All right. Many thanks indeed for joining us this morning. Well, let's dive into the conversation straight. To whom does the term internally displaced person or IDP refer to? Let me start with Alinda.
Thank you once again, Juma. What I'll say with IDP, which is internally displaced persons, refers to persons or a person who has been forced to flee from his or their home due to conflict of war, violence, human violations, or natural disasters. For example, the conflict that is going on in Jonglei State. We see most of people have been displaced.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. To your understanding, Robert, to whom does the term, when it comes to internally displaced persons or IDP, what comes into your mind?
Yeah, not far from what Alinda has mentioned. I look at it as forceful displacement, which is either caused by nature or by man-made factors. When we look at man-made factors like conflict itself, when we look at nature, for example, floods or droughts and many other factors that have changed against the human rights and the safety of the human beings in that very place.
All right. What are some of the causes of displacement in our country, because you mentioned some of them, but in a large scale, which ones are the most causes of displacement in our country?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Looking at South Sudan, as we are talking here, honestly speaking, conflict has been a major factor of displacement, both internally and also to outside the country. Very sadly, even the recent trend has shown us that conflict continue to be a major player in causing displacements.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're talking about close to 280,000 IDPs between January and now, majorly affecting Lake States, Jongole, and Upper Nile. So when we look at conflict, it is a major factor, and this conflict is because of the human behavior. But again, when we look at climate-induced kind of displacement, we look into the issue of flooding, for example, in Jongole State. Recently, we have IDPs who have stayed in Mangala for quite long, I think since 2021. They were pushed away because of flooding. When we look at also right now, there are some internal displacements within Juba, within Central Equatoria State, particularly in Lanya County and in Ye River County, which is caused by some armed cattle herders who have left their places because of some changes in the climate which were not favorable for their economic activity. So we look at those kind of things. I would like to give the space also to Alinda.
Yes, Alinda.
I'll come back again. Thank you.
I'll not say much based on what Robert has said, but we see that most of the causes are the conflicts. We have the communal and political conflicts. For example, in Terekeka, we see it was as a result of the communal conflicts. And when we come to Jongole, we see it's also ethnic, ethnic groups. The conflict is based on the ethnic groups. We see there is revenge. Some of the conflicts...
Revenge killing.
Yes. Some of the conflicts as a result of revenge. No forgiveness. You see where there is revenge, there is no forgiveness. We see, as he has talked, the natural disasters, the floods, the drought. Some are being displaced because of drought, whereby, for example, in Terekeka, you'll find they are moving from one place to another because of drought. The place is dry. They are looking for water, a place where there is water, so that where their cattle can do what, can have some water. Yeah.
And in interaction with the people that you work with, I believe they also share some of the experiences, you know. What do they tell you, some of the consequences of all this displacement? What have you seen in the areas that you've been working with the displaced people?
Yeah, for example, on our side, as Girls and Boys in Action, the most IDPs that we go to in Central Equatoria, you'll find that most of the consequences are physical. Physical attacks, sexual assaults, some even theft. During this displacement, their items are looted, they are taken. And we see that there are security risks to the vulnerables also, especially the women, the girls, and the children. Then we look also at the humanitarian crisis, whereby they lack most of the basic needs. I hand over to my colleague.
Okay. Let me bring in Antipas. Antipas, you said you have an initiative that, of course, you're trying to bring this displaced people together, and you talk about migration. What do they tell you?
Yeah, first of all, we felt it's important for really people to have spaces, to have conversations on issues of migration, because this is really part of our life already. And one of the consequences is the social tensions between the host and displaced communities. The country is engulfed with a lot of issues, including economic crisis. And then you see a population which is already vulnerable still has to host IDPs who are struggling for very basic, very limited basic needs, healthcare, water points, and many others. So now there's always this conflict between the two. Between the two.
The resources.
Yeah, the resources. And then the other thing is there's really serious concern of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I personally went to Mangala to supervise one of our dialogues. So even the elderly people have strong images in their mind about the things they have lost.
Mm.
There was one of the beneficiaries who shared how he lost all his cattle and how he is willing to keep his phone forever because he has the pictures of his cattle in that phone.
Mm.
So trauma is one of the serious issues. People have valuable assets. Others had businesses that they have to leave.
Mm.
Or those items were submerged by the river, mm. by the floods. The other issue is really the exposure of children to human rights violations.
Mm.
There was one girl at around 14. She had a clear vision. She wanted to become actually a midwife.
Mm.
Yeah. But when they were displaced and she stayed for 3 years at home, she changed her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
She was called by some of her friends in Imule to go and make tea,
mm.
you know, to sell tea and make some money. So all her conversation changed. She now want to be making money to be helping her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, her right to education is already being violated, and she's exposed already to child labor and a lot of things.
Mm.
So I think that's the addition that I can make. And in terms of the vision,
mm-hmm.
this displacement tend to affect, you know, the vision of the young people.
Mm.
In the realities that they are in now, they do see different things than what they have hoped for.
Mm.
We had a session whereby the children drew some pictures, and then they spoke about what the picture meant to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they had a clear path from where they came from, but now from where they are, everything has changed.
Mm.
So I think that's where I want to put it for now.
Alinda, you work with you're a program coordinator, Girls and Boys in Action.
Yes.
You're working with this displacement, with these displaced communities. What do you do, like, to these young girls and boys?
We as Girls and Boys in Action, what we do, we engage in awareness raising activities.
Mm-hmm.
We do also provide some psychosocial support to these internally displaced people.
Mm.
The psychosocial support, sometimes it's through the in-kind support through our board members, whereby we provide them with Digint kits. We find that most of these girls within the IDPs unable to buy, for example, a packet of a pad, a disposable pad.
Mm.
So we as Girls in Action, we came up with an initiative of training some of the community women and youth mm-hmm. on how to make handmade reusable pads. So we make these handmade reusable pads in a big quantity
mm-hmm.
whereby we distribute them to these persons who have been displaced and they help them. Because when you look at a packet of a disposable pad, it's around 5,000 to 6,000 as per now.
It's expensive.
Yes, it's expensive. But the advantage of using the reusable pad is that you can use it continuously, even for the whole year.
Mm.
So we found out that most of them did not know even what a reusable pad was. So we've contributed also to that, and we've managed to train some to come up as our role models through the support of SIHA Network. That is the strategic initiative for women in the Horn of Africa in Mangaten. We have some whom we've trained on that. Thank you.
So only in Mangaten or...
It's in Mangaten, Gorom Refugee Settlement Camp.
Mm.
Yeah.
Where do you exactly work? Is it only within Juba?
No. Our geographical location is Central Equatorial State. Mm. In Central Equatorial State, we work in Terekeka, Juba County. Then we go to Eastern Equatorial State. We are in Torit and Magui. We are also in Jongole State, that's in Bor.
Mm.
Yes. and Yambio. That is in Zara.
Mm.
Yeah.
Antipas, they circles also support the initiatives that you do as an organization to the displaced people. Can you tell us, is it ongoing or we have issues to do with the challenges and funding that has also maybe hindered some of your work?
Yeah, the project titled Migrations and Climate was particularly for IDPs, and of which we held some intergenerational dialogues. We wanted to understand also the evolution of this migration, this displacement caused by nature. How was life by then, during our grandparents' time? Were there no cases of flooding, for example? If they were there, how were the issues handled to make sure that intercommunal conflict were mitigated? Such conversations were important so that also the young generation will learn from the past. So in addition to this, we look at the women who are now in the settlement, in the temporary settlements, in the displacement sites, the skills that they need in terms of livelihoods. So we give them the trainings in creative skills that they can make money from, and then also how they can manage their money, issues of VSLA. But there was also what we have as space for trauma healing. So we identify the most affected persons to come and, you know, to discuss together tailored issues. And the idea is so that also it will divert them only from looking at life in the camp, but to have another perspective. They interact with different women who have been through some human rights violations, some hardships, like some economic challenges. Unfortunately, this project ended last year in August, but what we are running now is what we call Let's Talk Migration, South Sudan. So this is not only targeting IDPs, it's targeting all migrants. We have refugees from Congo, refugees from Sudan, and we have economic asylum seekers
from
Somalia, Ethiopia, and the rest of the countries. So this platform gives an opportunity for sharing knowledge and information, but also to making sure that the opportunities that are available are fairly distributed between the host and the migrant communities. Additionally, we also work with the Ministry of Interior, particularly the Directorate for Civil Registry, Nationality and Passport, to make sure that the rights of migrants are protected, to make sure that access to information is availed not only for the migrants, but also for the host communities. For example, what are the documents they need to legally stay in South Sudan without being implicated by the law? So that is what is currently happening.
So the areas, you're only working in Yei and Mangala and Juba, I mean Juba counties?
Yeah, TIDE is a national non-governmental organization, but in terms of funding, the funds, all the donors that we have got so far are funding within Central Equatorial State. Our latest area will be Torit this year. So these are where we are working.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, dear listener, you can be part of the conversation here. Do you call us on 0912067879 or 0912067879 or 0912068101. Well, as we open our studio lines, are there any community or civil society initiatives that support internally displaced persons apart from the ones that you people are already having?
Yes, there.
We
have the NGOs and the international organizations. Even the government also. So, yeah, you're laughing and you'll ask me how the government comes in.
Tell us more. We want to learn.
Yeah. So the NGOs that are supporting, for example, in Jongola, I'll talk about what is happening as per now. For example, in Jongole, we have some of the organizations, the NGOs that are responding. That is the Nile Hope. That is in East Akobo. We have SIDO, that is also in Jongole. We have Oxfam, IOM, not forgetting the UNHCR, mm-hmm. that is doing a lot to see that these refugees, the IDPs, are living at least a happier life.
Mm.
Then we have also, how you are saying you are laughing when I talked of the government.
No, I wasn't laughing, I was just looking at you.
For example, Gorum Refugee Settlement Camp is managed by the government.
Mm.
And you cannot reach there without reaching their office. So all these NGOs or the international organizations, we are working in collaboration with the government.
Mm-hmm.
So these so far are the communities or the organizations that are responding.
Mm.
The CSOs, to mention but a few, as I've told you.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah, I also know of some few organizations, but generally I think it is becoming very clear for the civil society to understand that climate change has become everyone's concern.
Mm-hmm.
And already in our engagements as civil society, we also work under the Central Equatoria State Civil Society Network.
Mm.
So we encourage mainstreaming of these climate adaptation strategies in all the interventions that we do. However, practically, at individual level, there is one South Sudanese media practitioner called Maura Ajak. She's doing extremely great job in amplifying, you know, the consequence of climate change causing migration issues, causing conflict. There is actually one of her documentaries called South Sudan's Poisoned Floods. When we look at that, it has a lot of information that we can learn on the realities of these displacements.
Mm.
But also I learned of an organization called ICAN South Sudan in Western Equatoria State. It has some engagements in terms of creating spaces for dialogue between host and displaced populations.
Mm.
Yeah, I think those are some practical examples I can mention. A documentary has also been produced with the support of a partner called Palace. Mm. And this documentary has been produced by Tide last year. It is to amplify advocacy on the issues of IDPs to attract attention of government, of partners, to be able to respond. There are a lot of health-related needs, education-related needs, livelihoods, and all these kind of things.
Do you guys work in consortiums?
The Central Equatoria State Civil Society Network is a big network of over 50 organizations.
All of you are inclusive, including your organization?
Yes, we are part of it.
Mm.
And actually, we are also part of the recent activity in
Lanya. But people seem to be doing the same thing. Is there no scramble for resources?
No.
The need is huge. Uh-huh. Even we who are doing are not able to address it.
Mm.
We need more still to come. You know, we do this work with very minimal resources.
Mm-hmm.
Funding has been a major challenge.
Mm.
And so that's why you hear us not even talking about the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas. So there's no duplication here. In fact, we needed more scaling up of our work through increased funding or through increased cooperation, like local partnerships, even with government and among us as civil society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will also not forget about another supporting organization, that is SIHA Network, the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They've supported us, we as Girls and Boys in Action. As I told you, we do supply the GINT kits.
Mm.
So, in fact, on 7th, we delivered to them 100 GINT kits that they are handing over to one national organization in Jongole, in Bol, to distribute to already the internally displaced persons.
Mm.
So we really appreciate that. They are doing a great work in the country.
All right. Dear listener, you are listening to Know Your Rights, the program, and with me today, Ms. Alinda Brenda, program coordinator, Girls and Boys in Action organization, and Mr. Robert Guia, Antipas Program Manager, Talent Initiative for Development, a national organization here in South Sudan. Well, our topic is internal displacement in South Sudan, looking at the causes effects and response from a human rights perspective. Well, if you have a strong view, or if you would like to share your thoughts as well on the topic, you can call in 0912-067879 or 0912-067879 or 0912-068101. Or you can send an SMS on 0912-177141. Once again, 0912-177141. So now, let me get back to Robert. Robert, your work with the young people, because we also see there are these young people who are displaced and they have a potential in, you know, coming up with what they can do. Some of them are having hidden talents. Are there initiatives to also promote their talents as well?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Actually, we use creative arts across our work. We acknowledge the power of creative arts in mobilization, for example.
Mm.
If there's music or if there's drama, mm-hmm. we attract a big audience, and then we can use it for awareness raising. So we do work with creative practitioners
mm-hmm.
from the communities, including displaced communities.
Mm.
Yeah. So, for example, in Yei, we have held so far for the third time annual music, dance, and drama competitions.
Mm.
So we make sure that the displaced populations also participate in this. But also under media and peace building in South Sudan is one of the projects we implement.
Mm.
We make sure that media practitioners are sent to Kampala, you know, for capacity building trainings,
mm-hmm.
but also to have like a learning exchange
mm.
with the media practitioners there.
Mm.
And we, in the selection criteria, we make it very categorically clear mm. that we will need participation or representation of practitioners from displaced communities.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's how we do it from the programming, and we make sure that throughout the project we monitor
mm.
and we make sure that there's really representation of these groups.
Mm.
Because as I mentioned earlier, on our core target beneficiaries are youth, women, and migrants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Gentlemen and ladies, as we conclude the program, what would be your message to the people listening to you right now? Whether it be in government, whether it be the humanitarian organizations, or even those who are displaced.
Yeah. So maybe I can come.
Mm.
Yeah. To the government, we acknowledge the efforts it's doing to restore peace, sanity, and unity in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we really call for intentional actions towards addressing the main root cause of this displacement, which is conflict. If the government is able to fix the political issues
mm.
that are resulting into intercommunal conflict and displacement, then our communities will be able to peacefully go back to their ancestral lands where they feel comfortable, where they have enough land to invest in their economic activities.
Mm.
And to the partners, there are very good local initiatives we have started.
Mm-hmm.
Two of us today are just representing a number of NGOs that are having programs on migration, but we really have challenges of resources and funds.
Mm.
We have access to these rural areas. Let them give us the money. Let them give us the logistical support.
Mm-hmm.
We are able, we are willing to do the work, to engage these communities, the displaced and the hosts,
mm-hmm.
and to engage the local governments. And finally, to the South Sudanese, ordinary people like myself,
mm-hmm.
let us change our behavior. Violence will continue to tear us apart.
Mm-hmm.
Let us choose always peaceful means to resolve our conflict so that we don't displace ourselves. Let's change our behavior. And in terms of the climate adaptation, let us also change our actions. Let us be climate sensitive in the activities that we do. Thank you.
Thank you. And Alinda?
Yes, thank you so much. To me, I would request the government, in collaboration with other stakeholders, to engage the youth in different activities to avoid that idleness, because we see most of the conflicts are caused by the youth. The youth are a big resource within the country, and they are easy to be mobilized to cause any chaos in the country or in an area. So the CSOs, the other partners, we should come up, support the CSOs in collaboration with the government. Let us empower these youth through economic activities for sustainability, so that they don't meander around by engaging in things that can cause chaos within the country. Then I would also request the government, especially on coordination and policy, implement the South Sudan Action Plan on returnee, integration and recovery, that is of 2020 to 2022. My prayer is that let the government, in partnership with the other partners, launch the 2026 humanitarian plan that seeks to prioritize the most vulnerable ones. If it can be launched, that action plan, humanitarian action plan, can be launched, we believe something will come up. Then, also on the humanitarian and relief, humanitarian relief and protection, let us collaborate with the humanitarian agencies, the government to collaborate with the humanitarian agencies to provide immediate relief items by responding to these persons displaced in these areas of conflict. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Many thanks indeed, Ms. Alinda Brenda, Program Coordinator, Girls and Boys in Action Organization. Many thanks for your time. And thank you, Robert Guia Antipas, Program Manager, Talent Initiative, abbreviated in short as TIDE, isn't it?
Yes.
For development. Many thanks indeed for your time. Well, dear listener, we have been talking about internal displacement in South Sudan, and we were looking at the causes, effects, and response from a human rights perspective. That's it for today's edition of the Know Your Rights program. My name is Juma Emmanuel Losande. Thanks for listening, and many thanks for your company indeed. Goodbye for now.